access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5 as we continue our study through this letter that James wrote to persecuted Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad for their faith in Jesus. And I guess I could say what a trip through this letter it's been, right, over the last several months. We're not going to finish up this week. Next time we'll conclude this letter. But the focus of this letter is really living out your faith. You know, in James 1:22, James said, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And what we learned so far is to help us mature in the faith, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. James said we're to count it all joy when trials come your way because God allows trials in our lives to test our faith to help us to grow. And, you know, we are to ask the Lord in faith, trust in Him, and He'll give us the wisdom we need to grow by. God doesn't hold that back. Don't allow Satan also to trip you up in sin, but grow in the trials God sends your way, knowing that every good, every perfect gift comes from God. There's no darkness in Him at all. So even though we go through difficult times and Satan is tempting us, God is testing us, and He wants us to grow. That's an exciting thing. Also, true faith is obedient to God's Word. In other words, we live what we say we believe. We're to live a life of peace, not showing partiality, and really extending grace and mercy to others as God has extended to us. Yes, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. But as we've seen, true faith is never, never alone. Works accompany true faith. Fruit is born in a believer's life, or their faith is dead. And that should just make sense. You know, our good works aren't done for salvation, but that's the evidence for our faith. Also, a life submitted to God will have a tongue that is in control. That's a tough one, wasn't it? I mean, that was hard. Instead of speaking forth poison, destructive words, the words that flow from our lips should build up and encourage each other. And yeah, sometimes correction is needed, but it's always done in love. A life of faith is manifested in humility before God and humility towards others. A life of faith is lived out in total dependence upon God, knowing that He's going to guide us. A life of faith is seen in the charity we have towards others. And a life of faith waits patiently for the Lord's return in the midst of all kinds of evil. This, to me, is a really, really practical letter for us to read and apply to our lives. And again, we're not done with it yet. We've got study this morning and next week to finish up. One writer of this letter put it like this. He said, "This epistle sternly insists upon Christian practice consistent with Christian belief, heaps scathing contempt upon all empty profession, and administers a stinging rebuke to the reader's worldliness. Its stress upon the gospel's ethical imperative makes the epistle as relevant today as when it was first written. The presence of this practical epistle in the New Testament canon is a magnificent monument to the moral sensitivity and concern of the Christian church." And we've seen James doesn't pull any punches, does he? But imagine a church getting a letter like this today. They would be offended by it, right? Instead of saying, okay, what can we learn from it? How can we grow? And that's how many Christians take it. Well, that hurt me. That was offensive to me. Well, I'm sorry, but maybe God is speaking to your heart on some issues that you need to deal with, that I need to deal with. Because, again, and I've said this often, the Holy Spirit didn't put the Epistle of James in here as a filler. You know, I need to make this book a little longer, so we'll put another letter in here. No. This is something the Holy Spirit knew exactly what we would need. And yeah, it does hurt sometimes, but boy, as we feel that conviction, we can examine our lives, our walk, to see what needs to be adjusted so we can grow, so we can mature in the Lord. And growth hurts, doesn't it? You know, remember growing up as a kid, although I never really had growth spurts. I just had, I don't know, they weren't spurts. But, you know, kids who are really tall, sometimes their joints ache because they're growing so fast. Their body's trying to catch up to what's going on, and it's hard, and it hurts. And that's exactly what goes on here. Is as we're growing in the Lord, there's some pain that we have to learn how to grow by. These are growing pains, and I think we do experience them in the Lord. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at faith prays for. And it's an open-ended statement because prayer is multifaceted. There are so many things we're to be praying for, and we're going to look at some of these this morning. But for many, prayer is one of those things that many Christians are lackadaisical about. You know, maybe it's because we don't see immediate results, you know. We don't believe God's going to answer or hear our heart's cry. And there's lots of reasons out there why people don't pray. And probably the biggest one is people say, I don't have enough time to pray. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have time not to pray. It's the most important thing. We're in a spiritual battle, and this battle is not fought with physical weapons, but spiritual ones. And one of them is prayer. It's an offensive weapon. If we don't use it, then we really don't have any reason to complain about what's happening in our lives or in the world, do we? I mean, we should be praying for different things that are going on, because prayer changes our hearts and it opens the door for God to work. It's not that God needs us to pray, but through prayer we understand the heart of God in situations, and God will answer our prayer. And when He does, He gets the glory. And again, look at the things we could be praying for. Family members that don't know the Lord, friends that don't know the Lord, co-workers that don't know the Lord, our community. We see some of the atrocities going on in our community, and I don't know, if your heart doesn't grieve over that, something's wrong. You know, I think many times we watch a TV show and we're brought to tears. Oh, it was so sad. And it's a TV show. It's not reality. But when something tragic happens in our community, you go, well, you know, that's just the way it is. Has our heart gotten that hard? Do we need to be open and praying for these people? My heart grieves over that child that was murdered by their babysitters. And I'm praying for the ones that did this to this child, that they come to know the Lord. Yes, there's accountability. They need to pay the penalty for their crime. But a bigger issue is they need to be saved. And we pray for their salvation. We pray for the comfort of the mom. And I don't know if she's saved or not. We pray for her salvation as well. Let me share this with you regarding prayer and what God does. While crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner years ago, F.B. Meyer was asked to address the first-class passengers. At the captain's request, he spoke on answered prayer. And there was an agnostic who was present at the service, and he was asked by his friends, "What do you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon?" And he answered, "I didn't believe a word of it." Well, that afternoon, Meyer went to speak to the steerage passengers, and many of the listeners at his morning address went along, including this agnostic, who claimed he just wanted to hear what the babbler had to say. Now, before starting for the service, the agnostic put two oranges in his pocket. And on his way, he passed an elderly woman sitting in her deck chair, and she was fast asleep. And her hands were open like this as she fell asleep. In the spirit of fun, the agnostic put the two oranges in her outstretched palms. And after the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the pieces of fruit. "You seem to be enjoying that orange," he remarked with a smile. "Yes, sir," she replied. "My father is very good to me." "Your father? Surely your father can't be still alive." "Praise God," she replied. "I tell you, sir, I've been seasick for days." "Or excuse me, he's very much alive." And the passenger or the agnostic said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "I'll tell you, sir, I've been seasick for days. I was asking God somehow to send me an orange. I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying. And when I awoke, I found he had not only sent me one orange, but two." Well, the agnostic was speechless, and later he was converted to Christ. Praying God's will brings an answer, absolutely. So let's dig in here in James chapter 5, looking at this topic, faith prays for, beginning in verse 13, where James says this: "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And we'll just stop there for a minute. Now, remember when we got into James chapter 5, the focus of this chapter, I said, was the believer in the second coming. How do we see that here? Well, first of all, make no mistake about it, the Lord is coming back. But here's the thing. There is suffering, cheerfulness, sickness, and even sins that we face, and to ignore them or try to be stoic about them doesn't deal with the situation. Well, then, what is James saying here? Well, especially as you see the day of the Lord coming, as it gets closer, things are going to become more and more difficult. I am amazed at how we've lost common sense. My son, who's a nurse practitioner, I'm a registered nurse, sent me an article from Australia yesterday. And I just couldn't even believe it. In Australia, they want to pass a law that nurses, when they take care of patients, Aboriginal or black patients, have to express their white supremacy and how that they are against Aboriginal or black people. So you introduce yourself, "Hi, I'm a racist white person coming to take care of you." Have we lost common sense today? I don't get it. It is getting more and more difficult in this world. We just don't understand. How can this be? Well, okay, I'm going to give a plug for Thursday when we're in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. You want to know why this is happening? Read those verses. Come on Thursday, because I will explain it to you. The Lord does very clearly. And for us, we can try and pass all kinds of laws and do all kinds of things and stomp our feet and get angry, or we can pray. You see? Something that we're lacking today in the church. And there really are 5 points in these verses we've just read here this morning regarding prayer. The point is, James says, "Is anyone among you suffering?" And it's a Greek word that's not dealing necessarily with a sickness, but more of an emotional suffering. You know, maybe those that are enduring evil treatment by people, the persecution that they're facing, the abuse that they're encountering. They're just being treated wickedly, and it's affecting them emotionally. Do we see that today? Are people affected emotionally today? Yes. I mean, you know, it's interesting. There's so much talk about tolerance today, but the ones that are talking about tolerance are intolerant. Go figure that. And people are hurting. And not just unsaved people, even Christians. And it's a serious problem. And I don't think we're dealing with the root of the problem. We're dealing with the symptoms. And the symptoms are depression and suicide and all these other issues. But the root of the problem, to me, is Jesus. And we'll talk about that. I'll just share this with you. I mean, it breaks my heart. And we can't ignore this. And a lot of people like to sweep it under the carpet. But this is a reality. Suicide rates rose in all but one state between 1999 and 2016, with increases seen across age, gender, race, ethnicity, according to a report released Thursday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In more than half of all deaths in 27 states, the people had no known mental health condition when they ended their lives. In North Dakota, the rate jumped more than 57%. In the most recent period studied, 2014 to 2016, the rate was highest in Montana at 29.2 per 100,000 residents, compared with a national average of 13.4 per 100,000. Increasingly, suicide is being viewed not only as a mental health problem, but a public health one. Nearly 45,000 suicides occurred in the United States in 2016, more than twice the number of homicides, making it the 10th leading cause of death. Among people ages 15 to 34, suicide is the second leading cause of death. You start looking at kids that are committing suicide, again, it breaks your heart. They've lost hope. They don't think there's nothing they can do anymore. And yes, you know, we see the rise with opiates in this country that's increasing the suicide rate. The article goes on, it says, I think this gets back to what do we need to be teaching people, how to manage breakups, job stresses, said Christian Motier, medical director of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. What are we doing as a nation to help people to manage these things? Because nobody can experience those stresses, or anybody can experience those stresses, excuse me, anybody. And here's the problem, guys. We've moved away from God, and it's hopeless out there apart from Him. We really would hope. You know, you put your hope in this and that, and it fails you over and over and over again. And finally, you just give up hope. You're taught that we've just evolved from the slime pool. There's no rhyme or reason to life, and so it doesn't matter if you live or die. It's not important. But I'm telling you, if you've come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know your life is important because He created you in the womb. He loves you and died for you. It gives you a reason. It gives you a hope, doesn't it? It surely does me. I mean, I listen to some of the things that are going on and I go, man, apart from Christ, where would I be? And so instead of dealing with the root of the problem, which I believe they're not knowing the Lord, we're dealing with the symptoms. We try to help the symptoms. And please, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying some people don't need to be on antidepressants. But that's what we filled our society with because we're trying to give them hope with drugs. And drugs don't give you hope. They take care of the problem for a little bit. And again, I'm not saying every single person shouldn't be on it. I'm saying there are people that need to. But look at our society. I mean, you compare it to other nations and you know, you look at the statistics, man, we're way off the standard of people on antidepressant medications. We need to deal with the root of the problem, and we forgot what this problem is. The problem is they moved away from God, and there is no hope apart from Him. They look at their lives, they see no way out. And even Christians commit suicide. I've done 2 funerals of Christians that have taken their life because they felt hopeless. Breaks your heart. And I don't know where you're at this morning. If you're in that condition where you feel hopeless, or if you're thinking of taking your life, here's the thing. Don't. Talk with me. Talk with someone. I don't care who you are. You need to talk with someone. It's that important. If you're listening on the radio, the internet, you call me. You email me. Talk with someone. For us, what we can do for people, what we can do if we're going through these things, James says, let them pray. If you're suffering, if you're facing difficult times, if you feel that you just don't know what to do because of all that's coming down upon you, you pray. Lord, I need your help. You know where I'm at. You know my heart right now is just broken. And God will help you. And some feel, you know, well, that's ridiculous. How's that going to help me? Others see it as a last resort. But think about, where else are you going to go? Who else are you going to lay your request before that can truly help you? God desires to help us through these storms of life that we're facing. And I don't care who you are, we're all going to endure storms in our lives, difficult things. That's the reality. And I think many times we, as we're going through the storms, we lose sight of what we need to do. You know, Paul in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 said, be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So if you're in a difficult situation, and if you're not, you will be, because we all go through them. Give it to God in prayer, general requests, supplications, specific, with thanksgiving. God wants to hear from us. Don't come before God complaining. Thank Him for who He is, for His love for you, and so on. And I love what Paul says, because as we bring our concerns before the Lord with an attitude of gratitude, He fills us with His peace. And I understand it's not easy, but focus your mind upon Him, not upon the situation. See, you got the wrong perspective. He's the one that can help. In Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's so important. He's the one that has control of my life. God's not up there and go, hey guys, what happened to Joe? I kind of misplaced him. What's going on with him today? We laugh at that and think, well, that's ridiculous. But when we're in the midst of a storm, don't we feel that way? God, where are you? We even see in the Psalms, you know, the psalmist crying out, God, where are you? But I love David. You know, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Absolutely. I don't care how big the storm surge is. The rock is always higher, isn't it? Absolutely, because the rock is Jesus. And understand this peace that we're spoken of here in Philippians and in Isaiah is not a peace from the storms of life. It's a peace through the storms of life. It's a peace that's from God, not based on our efforts. It's beyond our understanding that we could be at peace in the midst of a storm. And yet God has given to us this peace if we would only receive it by faith. He guards our hearts, our emotions. And many times our emotions just start running wild, don't they? They just take control of our lives. And God says, I'll guard that. You just need to look to me. We need to trust in Him. He's going to guard our minds, our thoughts. Isn't it crazy when things seem out of control, when difficulty comes? Doesn't our mind go 240 trying to figure out, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we're all over the place. God says, I want to give your mind peace. But you got to trust in me on this one. What are you going to do? You got to trust in me, right? Isn't that the hardest thing? You know, I share with you many times before, you know, when my kids were young, you know, we would go up to Michigan by Lake Superior snowmobiling. And my son, my oldest son, Joe, he was very young at the time. And I think I was driving, my wife was driving, and he was in the back. And he would be screaming because he was so fearful. Why? Because the person driving wasn't him, and he didn't trust him, right? He drove, and I sat in back, and I was like, ah, you know, this is a little kid driving a snowmobile. Here's the thing. God's driving our lives, right? Can we trust in Him? It's hard, isn't it? But how much better to have His peace in our hearts, our emotions, our minds, our thoughts, than to just be going crazy? And it's not easy to give it to God in prayer. You know, we have to focus on Him instead of everything that's going on around us. But the peace of God, it fills our life. How much better? And here's the thing. When we are not giving it to Him, we're discouraged, we're down, we lash out at others, we take it out on them. Have you ever done that before? And if you say no, I'll talk with your spouse after service this morning. Well, you have. That's just what happens sometimes. We lose control, and you know they're the nearest person, so sorry, you get it. But God says, no, I want to hear from you because I want to give you peace during this difficult time. And so asking God for strength to go through those times, wisdom as we're going through those times. You know, James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He's going to give liberally to all without reproach. I like that. And this is, please understand, I'm not speaking from an ivory tower. I've experienced His peace through many very difficult situations in my life, as you have. Over the last year or so, it's been really tough. And I'm not sure why, but God shares with me through other people what some have said about me, how, you know, they mock me or angry at me or whatever. God just gives me such wisdom. And the interesting thing is I've asked Him. And it's amazing how He shows me. Because there are times, Lord, should I have done it that way? And it's like God shows me, this is why you did it that way. Because I told you. And this is the reason. Very clearly. And you can have peace through those very difficult times. My refuge is in the Lord. Our refuge has to be in Him. Remember, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I love that. It's a lesson I learned. It was a difficult one, and I'm sure I'm going to have to learn it again because we all go through storms, many storms throughout our life. But it's important that we understand that. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? I mean, it's not complicated. This is not like, you know, advanced theology. This is basic. And I need the basics, guys. I need the basics. Well, the next point Paul makes almost seems out of place. He says, is anyone cheerful? Let them sing psalms here in James 5:13. If you look at this, it fits perfectly. It's not out of place. You see, there are some in the church who are suffering. They need to pray. There are also some in the church who are cheerful. And what do they need to do? They need to praise the Lord.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.